upon the Lord, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel as recorded in Luke, chapter 8, and especially verses 49 and 50. Luke chapter 8, verses 49 and 50. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only. And she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. In the days of the Lord Jesus upon earth, we read much of his healing power. This, of course, sets forth in type healing of the soul as well as healing of the body. I think some years ago I spoke to you from that word which especially speaks of the Lord's healing power when John the Baptist was in prison and sent two of his messengers saying to him, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? The same man who earlier on had looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. But then in prison we feel spiritually as well as naturally darkness, coldness, confinement. Doubt had come upon him. And then the Lord answered, after doing those things and healing many, we read in that same hour, he healed many of their diseases. Then he said unto the two witnesses, Go and tell John again. Again, I love that word again. We need it again and again. The things which ye do see and hear, how the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And so I would like, as the Lord enables, to look at the context of these words, and I hope in these things there will be something for the children and young people to understand. And if it be the Lord's will for it to be blessed to their souls now or when brought to their recollection in the years to come. Now this ruler was named Jairus, and he had this daughter, his only daughter. You that are young, I am firmly persuaded, knowing from my own experience as a child, cannot appreciate the love of your parents to you until you become parents yourself. When you are fathers and mothers, then you will know a little of what it was, of how it was that your parents loved you. I'm sure that is true of every generation, that we love our children more than we loved our parents, though we love them, but it is not the same love. And now Jairus had this only daughter, 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But I want, of course, for us to consider this not only as his concern for her natural life, but his concern, or as a type of his concern, for her spiritual life. I am firmly persuaded that where there is a love to the Lord and a concern for our own souls, there will be a concern for the souls of others. The Apostle Paul speaks of it in his epistle to the Romans. His love to his brethren according to the flesh. And though we are thankful where the Lord has given, as I said in prayer, for healthy bodies and healthy minds, and many do not have that blessing, but the infinitely greater blessing is to have a healthy soul. Healthy bodies and healthy minds will eventually fade through old age, or through disease or affliction or so-called accident. What a great mercy to have a soul that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that will live eternally with Jesus Christ in heaven above. Now he brought this case of his daughter to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not read in his particular case of how he had sought help of others. We do of the dear woman in the 43rd verse. She had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of it. But how often it is true, and I had that in mind when choosing the last hymn, could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without, then at last to him we cry. I would exhort you that are younger to bring all your problems to the Lord in prayer, whether they may be teasing and persecution at school, ridicule, we know of these things ourselves, whether they be problems, difficulties, cares and concerns, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. I am thankful that I can look back upon many prayers answered, but few, if any, have ever been answered in the way that I expected. Mr. Philpott said, we must not lay down tram lines for the Lord to move along in answering our prayers. Sadly, we often do that. But this dear man came to the Lord. I want to refer to his words as we read them in Mark later on. But before the Lord healed or restored to life Jairus' daughter, this other woman, came to him with her issue of blood. And notice she had had this problem 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. I am sure that Jairus, being human and being subject to temptations as you and I, he would have thought, surely this woman can wait. My daughter's at the point of death. She's had her problem 12 years. Another few hours won't make much difference. But the Lord was omniscient. He had decided this woman was to be healed first. And I feel we must just touch upon her case. She came behind touched the border of his garment, and immediately an issue of blood was stored. Jesus perceived that virtue had gone out of him. The disciples were unaware of it. Master, the multitude thronged thee and blessed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? But when she saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. Falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched and how she was healed immediately. I mention as an aside, I feel it is one of the weaknesses in our generation that we do not speak enough of what the Lord has done for us. We read in Mark of the Lord's commandment to the former mad Gadarene, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Not what you've done for the Lord, as many would speak of, but what the Lord hath done for thee and hath had mercy upon thee. And so with this dear woman, she came and told them all what he had done for her, for what cause she had touched him, the burden and concern she had, and how she was healed in it. In the last chapter of Hebrews, we read how we are to speak of what the Lord has done for us. He does not speak of it as if it were an easy matter. And especially when we are young, I'm sure it is not. Do good and communicate. Forget not. For with such sacrifices, doesn't speak as if it's an easy matter, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. So she was healed before Jairus' daughter, though Jairus had brought his case first. Human reasoning has to bow down before the sovereignty of the Lord. God's clock keeps perfect time. Our clocks are sometimes fast and sometimes slow. We want a blessing before God intends to give it. Or we dread some particular trouble coming and we put, as it were, the hands of the clock back. But God's clock keeps perfect. She was to be healed first, then Jairus, his daughter. But coming then, more especially to verses 49 and 50, while the Lord still spake to the woman, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. If Satan can hinder the Lord's people in their prayers, he will always do so. He may be saying to someone here now who has a concern, I know not details of you, for your loved ones, perhaps a child, perhaps a grandchild, brother, sister, or one laid upon the mind. And Satan is saying, thy daughter is dead, spiritually. Trouble not the master. Trouble not the master. Notice where this one came from. From his own head. The Lord in Matthew said, a man's foes are they of his own household. And this means especially of our own hearts. Unbelief, fears, doubts. Beside the many sins of pride, and lust and other sins, it is from our own hearts. Encouraged by the enemy of our souls. And so he says, thy daughter is dead, it's too late, don't bother the Lord anymore. Give it all up. You've been praying for this one, it may be, for year after year. And perhaps at times your hope has been raised that she will be restored to life, and then it is all done. And he says, give it all up. Trouble not the Master. Trouble not the Master. I say, what need there is for grace to continue in prayer. To wrestle with the Lord as Jacob wrestled with the angel through the night season. Do we not read of it in the book of Genesis, I think chapter 32 or thereabouts, where when he had come to the brook Jabbok, and his brother Esau with 400 men was coming to meet, he took all right and proper precautions. Divided his family into two, sends presents to appease his brother. We should take right precautions, whether regarding our bodily health, life, circumstances. Not to do so is presumption, but let us never put our trust in natural precautions. Put our trust in the Lord. And we read there that he was greatly afraid. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And I remind you in this circumstance, I had not thought to speak of Jacob, but it comes to the mind. Jacob was in a path of obedience. If we are going contrary to God, we can well expect trouble and chastening to come upon us. But Jacob was in a path of obedience. The Lord had appeared to Jacob in a dream by night, saying, return to thy father's house and I will be with thee. Did he have an easy path? I know the Lord can cause it to be so, but it is no mark that we are in a right path because everything is going our way. Jacob didn't find it so. He didn't have a Rolls Royce sent to meet him and take him back to Isaac. He had Laban pursuing after him to bring him back, and would have done so had not God prevented him. Then trouble here with Esau coming to meet him. Trouble later on with the men of Shechem. All in a path of obedience. When the Lord said to his disciples, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, they launched forth, they obeyed. They didn't have back wind. A mighty storm came upon them. And these things are to try our faith. To try our faith. Our faith in whether God has given us a promise, or in the case of dear Jairus, that whether it was the Lord that could heal his daughter, as he had said in Matthew, where we read how he had had that faith that the Lord would indeed heal his daughter. He had brought this case to the Lord. He said to the Lord, he besought in grace, wrestling as it were with the Lord in prayer, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Dear Jairus had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if the Lord came and laid his hands upon her, she would be healed, and she would live. "Thou art coming to a king, large petition with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." But before we leave that case of Jacob, just notice this thought in passing. The angel touched his thigh, and the thigh was out of joint, as Jacob wrestled with the angel. Now, what would be the effect naturally if two of you children were wrestling together and one of you had a joint, your thigh joint come out of place? You would cling closer to the one that you were wrestling with than you were before, because you would be afraid of falling. You'd grip them tighter than you were before. So it was with Job. Then he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." "What is thy name?" "Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and hast prevailed." What a mercy if he touches the hollow of our thigh while we are wrestling with him, that we should cling close. As Peter said in the 6th of John, "To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The Lord has said, "Will ye also go away? To whom can we go?" But I want just to dwell upon this aspect of Jairus' faith in the Lord's power, that the Lord could heal. When you pray to the Lord, do you believe your prayer will be answered? Something I have to continually ask for forgiveness is this: for being surprised when my prayers are not answered. Surprised when our prayers are answered. Do you plead guilty or not guilty? What a sad commentary upon our faith when we are surprised at the prayer being answered, instead of expecting an answer. The Lord said in Matthew, "When ye pray, believe that ye shall receive, and ye shall have." Ye shall have. Now, when the Lord gives a faith in his power, as Jairus had that faith in the Lord's healing power, as another said, "If thou wilt, thou canst." She was never in any doubt about the Lord's power. "If thou wilt, thou canst." And so Jairus believed the Lord. Now, when the Lord gives that faith, and only he gives it, Satan will be always ready to oppose him. Some of you may have had a promise concerning such and one, concerning a love that the Lord will call them by his mighty grace. When the Lord gives a promise, he will give at least a measure of faith that that promise will be fulfilled. But that faith, like all faith, will be tried. It has often seemed most significant to me that the first words in Scripture that Satan is recorded as having spoken in the Garden of Eden was when he tried to cast doubt upon whether God had spoken. Satan's first words tried to cast doubt upon whether God had spoken. He said to the woman in the garden, "Yea, hath God said?" Question mark. Hath God said? And if God has given you a promise, if he has given you faith to believe that your promise for such an one will be answered, don't be surprised if Satan says, "Yea, hath God said?" Are you sure you were given that promise? Are you sure it wasn't wishful thinking? Are you sure you didn't dream those words or that assurance? And he will come, as it were, into your own heart from your own household. "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the nurse." But when Jesus heard, he knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. That human heart, he still retains, though throned in highest bliss. He feels each tempted member's pains, for our afflictions his. He hears these suggestions. He knows what Satan is like. And Satan may often quote Scripture. Was it not so with the Lord's great temptation in the wilderness? And it was immediately after his baptism, I mentioned this in passing. One wrote to me years ago, just after he had been baptized, saying he feared he had deceived the church, deceived himself. I replied that the Lord's great temptation recorded was immediately after his baptism. Your master's lot you must accept, temptations more or less. He heard it, and he answered him, saying, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." Fear not. Years ago, I was preaching at a certain place with a "fear not" in the text. I think it was one of the prophets. And I said, I did not know how many "fear nots," "be not afraid," and so on there were in the Scripture. And one dear soul now in heaven said to me afterwards, she said, "There are 366 fear nots, be not afraid, and similar exhortations in the Word of God." And I thought, how significant. 366. One for every day of the year, including a leap year. Yes, one for every day, even in the leap year. 366. Fear not. But I must be faithful and loving as well as kind in this matter. Let us never encourage our fears. Fears are God-dishonouring. They cast doubt upon our faith. They bring us into bondage, into darkness. They are God dishonored. Let us never, never boast of our fears. But I firmly believe all the Lord's people will help us. Firmly believe. How about Abraham? God said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward." How about Paul? On the voyage to Rome, "Fear not, Paul, thou must appear before Caesar." If Abraham needed a fear not, if Paul needed a fear not, don't be surprised if you need one as well. But he says, "Fear, fear." When the Lord went over the sea in that great storm and was fast asleep upon a pillar in the hinder part of the ship, and the disciples came and woke him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose and rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. And he said, "He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Fear not, be not afraid. And where is your faith?" Like so many scriptures, there is more than that, more in that than may meet the casual glance. Not only where was their faith that they would not be permitted to be drowned, but where was their faith that Christ was the promised Messiah? If Christ, being in the vessel with them, could have been drowned upon the lake, where would have been the fulfillment of the scriptures? Where would have been the fulfillment of the types and shadows of the law? Of the shedding of blood, of the lamb without blemish being offered up? Where was their faith that he was a promised Messiah? Fear not. And then in the prophet we read, "Fear not." Why? "For I am with thee. Oh, be not afraid." What a mercy if he speaks this word of comfort, of exhortation to us. Fear not. Believe only. Believe only. Now, I have already spoken of Jairus' faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of our articles of faith is to this effect, that we cannot indiscriminately exhort all men to savingly believe. If you bring it to the Acts of the Apostles, you find when they gave that exhortation to believe, they were speaking to those who already manifest spiritual life in repentance. For example, with the Philippian jailer, when he came and sprang in and came trembling, fearful of what he had been about to do in taking his own life. And he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Fear not, believe only. Believe in the Lord's power. Believe in his answer to your prayer. Believe in the fulfillment of his precious promises. Faith and believing are like Siamese twins. Siamese twins, you know, are born joined together. And sometimes they're only joined by skin and can be separated and live a different life. But sometimes they are born sharing vital organs. We read of some in the paper not long ago. And faith and believing are like that. They share the same vital organs. If one is living, so is the other. If one is dead, so must the other be. The Apostle Paul in the 11th of Hebrews gives us that best definition of faith that could be given. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so Jairus believed through faith. The Lord, and he had heard the Lord's words to that woman with the issue of blood, "Be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in faith." Believe on. What a great mercy to be a believer. Time does not permit us now to dwell upon savingly believing in the Lord Jesus. Hymn 234 makes very clear a acknowledgement of the truth of the Lord's words. That is not savingly to believe. The hymn writer goes on to speak of savingly believing. But I refer you to the first chapter of Luke. And the words there of Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias and the mother of John the Baptist. She said, "Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Not there may be, but there shall be. If the Lord has given you that word and given you faith to believe in it, there shall be a performance. Consider that case in the first chapter of the first book of Samuel, that dear woman had. She longed for a son. Time does not permit us now to dwell upon her exercise. She wanted a son for her husband's name and tribe to be perpetuated, as women in the East longed for a son. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed. She could have been in bitterness of soul, full stop. But she was in bitterness of soul and Eli mistook her, you know, thought she had been drunken. But then, and he was high priest, he said, "Go in peace." And the God of Israel, the God who changed Jacob's name from Jacob, meaning a deceiver, to Israel, the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And then we read, the woman arose, she did eat, her countenance was no more sad. Isn't that remarkable? You could understand her being no more sad when Samuel was born, but Samuel was not even conceived. But her countenance was no more sad. She believed the word that had been spoken, that the God who had spoken through the mouth of Eli, that it would be as she had desired, that her prayer would be answered. She believed. So she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She went her way, and as you know, she then afterwards did conceive. Just a thought there. Don't you think she was tempted by Satan that when she did have a child, it would be a daughter, when she'd been promised a son? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but as sure as the Lord had promised her the son, that son was him. And she called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." But just in conclusion, let us look at that which follows. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, the same three disciples that were taken up the Mount of Transfiguration, the same three disciples that were taken into the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James and John, and the father and mother of the man. And these professional mourners wept and bewailed. He said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth," and they laughed into scorn. How synthetic was their sorrow. They ridiculed the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they ridiculed your master, don't be surprised if they ridicule you. But he put them all out. What a mercy if these doubts and fears and unbeliefs are cast out of our heart. He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightly. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. I said about being surprised when prayers are answered. Our likeness is in the scriptures, for good or bad. They were people of like passions as we were. But what a mercy. Though they were surprised, their prayer was answered. We have that case of Zacharias the priest, the father of John the Baptist. He was praying for a son, but he wasn't expecting an answer. The angel said, "Thy prayer is heard, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." He said, "Whereby shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." The angel said, "Thou shalt be dumb, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in thy season." There we have a man praying and not expecting an answer. But Zacharias' unbelief and yours, our doubts and fears, do not stop God fulfilling his word. He which hath promised will perform. In his way and in his time. But oh, that we may lay his words before. Fear not, believe on, and she shall be made.
Final hymn is number 396 in Gaspers, and the tune is Son of Asaph, 652. Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him, but when all means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. In 396.
Thank you.
thy forgiving love over this earth. Be with the children and those that instruct them in the Sunday school, and grant thy blessing upon those there. Gather us, if spared, this evening around thy word. Give us that which is needful, and grant thy presence and power. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, the communion of the Spirit, be with us.